today. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, musicians. Had a good morning. And I tell you what, we're gonna talk about something today that's nothing short of extraordinary. We're gonna talk about a one-off event. It's unique in human history. It had never happened before, and it has never happened since, just the way it did then. It's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, back in the Old Testament, you can look through, and the Holy Spirit comes upon individuals for a season. Then perhaps if your name was Saul, you mess up and that spirit moves off of you, you know. And that's just the way it happened in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes into their life. But this is one time the Holy Spirit falls. I wished I could have been there. But because we have the Scriptures, we have a more sure word of prophecy than actually being there. Because we can see just exactly what happened. But I'm going to lay a foundation for that before we get there, all right? First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the praise that we can give you. Thank you for your Spirit. We just have so much to be grateful for. And we of all people should be grateful. Now, Father, I pray that you open our eyes and let us see what you have in this passage of Scripture. We ask that you be glorified in you alone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus kind of sets up this scene that's about ready to happen. And we're going to go back to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And he tells the disciples something. It's obvious he's just getting ready to leave them. And then he says, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then immediately following, or shortly thereafter, he rises up in the clouds. He goes up into heaven and he sits down at the right hand of the Father. And we know at that point he sends the promise of the Father. But to the disciples, he had one simple command: go to Jerusalem and stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. Now get this. These guys have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had seen the sick healed. They had watched the dead be raised. They had seen Jesus crucified. And they saw all of these miraculous things that happened with Jesus, and then they saw Jesus after he rose again from the dead. So these guys have seen it all. They are the best equipped people in the world. Matter of fact, the only people in the world equipped to be witnesses for Jesus. And then he tells them, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait a minute. They've had all these experiences and they've seen all these things and they're supposed to go sit and wait, right? What's wrong with that? I mean, they could be evangelizing. They could be preaching. They could be writing books. They could be filing reports with the Jerusalem CNN. They could be doing all these wonderful things because they've seen and experienced so much, but Jesus says, go and wait. Why? Let me give you Tony's opinion. Tony's opinion is this. You can have all the experiences possible. You can know everything there is to know. You can have seen everything there is to see. But if you don't have that special thing that God sends himself, you're of no use to him. It doesn't matter how smart, how educated, how gifted you are, or how good looking or how bad looking you are. It doesn't matter. If you don't have that special thing from God, you are of no use to him. So he tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and sit there and wait. Well, what did they do when they got there? Luke 24, verse 52 and 53, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Wendy, she focused on that. Great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. They live with great joy in praising God. Let's get the situation here. How could they do that? The political system was not all that good. It was not in their favor. I mean, it wasn't too long before that where Jesus was actually crucified. And the political system, the whole world scene was not good for them. Matter of fact, in my opinion, the world scene was worse for them than it is for us now. And they went living with joy? How do you do that? And continually praising God, even in the face of difficult situations? How do they do that? Well, there's something. Well, I'm going to read you something the Apostle Paul said has to do with this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 15 and 18. Good instruction. You ready? See that you repay, that no one repays another with for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Good advice. Now listen to what he says. Rejoice always. Rejoice always, even if your candidate loses the election. Even if the world is falling apart, he says, rejoice always. He didn't say if this or if this or if this. He said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Good idea, don't you think? Oh, wish you'd left this next one out. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's what they were doing. And if you know history, these men and these people who were going to Jerusalem, every one of them gave their life for their testimony except one. And he was exiled. Yeah, but they were crazy enough to go living in joy and praising God. So what's our excuse? Folks, let me just tell you, I don't see that kind of attitude in the Christian world today. Most of us are whinging and griping and complaining, aren't we? Jesus said, don't do that. Rejoice. Regardless of what happens, rejoice. And when God's people, in the face of very, very difficult circumstances, continue to live rejoicing, people think, you're crazy, but they want to know what you got. When we start living differently in this secular world, we'll begin to see people coming to Christ. Don't you believe that? We need to start doing that. Wendy nailed it this morning. But, all right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to the book of Acts now and let him recoup what we've just talked about. Luke's given the story, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And gathering together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John the Baptist, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now, from now. So he tells them to go and wait. And you know what these jokers went and did? They wanted to go get political. Oh, let me read it to you. Verse 6, and so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? Go figure. He had just promised that the Holy Spirit's coming, and they wanted to talk politics. How'd they do that? He responds with one word. Verse 7. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority. In other words, only God knows that answer. It's his business, not yours. You see how he handled that? Then he caused them to refocus on the message at hand. Verse 8, but you, leave the politics alone, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Absolutely nothing political in his comments. His focus was the main thing. And what's the main thing? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to do what? To get rich? To take over nations? To start a new political party? No. Let's read it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Power to do what? Power to be his witness, says. Listen to this comment. Jesus will give them power to be his witnesses. Say that with me. Jesus will give them power to be his witnesses. One more time. Jesus will give them power to be his witnesses. So when the Holy Spirit came, he provided the power to be witnesses around the world. So is everybody clear on that? When the Holy Spirit's mentioned, everybody's mind goes all over the place. Generally, it's on unknown tongues or healings or some kind of things like that. But that was never God's intention. His intention is that his people would have the power to be witnesses of Jesus, full stop. Amen? Folks, we need to make the main thing the main thing. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will empower his witnesses for worldwide missions. That was the purpose. But you know as well as I do, when the subject of the Holy Spirit comes up, world missions generally doesn't enter into the conversation. Why? It's because the devil has worked it out to where we're distracted. We're distracted into other things. Or when the Holy Spirit comes, I can do this, or I can do that, or I can do that. No, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. Let's push everything else aside. When the Holy Spirit comes, we'll be empowered to be his witnesses. So the disciples go up into the upper room. They go through the process of choosing another disciple to follow or fill into Judas's place. And then they wait. And then it happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It says they were all together. If you're reading the King James, it says they were in one accord. One mind, one spirit. Let's stop there. There was total, unequivocal unity. That is so, so important. God will send His blessing and His power into His people when there's unity. If there is not, you can forget the power. Thank you. But these guys were in one accord. They were all together. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. What was that like? I mean, we've heard songs. I almost get tingles talking about it. What was that like? Has anybody ever experienced a cyclone? Wow, here's a couple of people that experienced a cyclone. Wow. Now, here's another one. I've never experienced a cyclone. Not that I want to. I don't know. I could be a storm chaser, so. Never mind. But I've experienced some pretty strong winds, and even now, as I speak, there have been two huge cyclones, you know, tearing through the north end of Australia, and there's some big guys up there, and they are mighty rushing winds. And when we think of these mighty rushing winds, it's just overwhelming. I think that's what happened in that upper room. So imagine the loudest sound you ever heard from wind, and that's what happened there, okay? That's what happened. But notice one thing. And I've never seen this before until I was reading it. That sound that represented the coming of the Holy Spirit was not done in private. Okay? Did you hear me? It was not done in private. So many things that happens within Christianity is done within four walls and a roof. It's almost like we try to hide it. But God didn't intend that. You see, He didn't want the coming of the Holy Spirit to be a private matter. Look at the community response to what happened. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And at that time, when this sound happened, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, what noise? Of the wind, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. So it sure looks like that God intended the sound of the mighty rushing wind that filled the place where they were was heard probably all over the city of Jerusalem. And when that happened, all these people, Jews, who were there for the Pentecost, were all over the place, and they heard this cyclonic sound. And if you heard that in Jerusalem, what would you do? You would come running to see what's happening. So all these people throughout the city, and we'll name who they were here after a while, they come running together to see what in the world is going on. And Luke tells us they were blown away. Because all these people who were in the upper room are speaking with languages that they could understand. Nothing unknown about it. Languages which they could understand. And the crazy thing is, The people that were speaking were a bunch of Galileans who probably have never been 50 kilometers away from home in their lifetime. This was a supernatural event. And you know what they're talking about? The wonderful works of God. All these people just filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what they were doing? They were praising God and all of His works. Well, wish we could learn from that. They were praising God. Why did God do that? I personally believe, this is Tony's translation, that God never intended His message to be for just a few people huddled within four walls and a ceiling. But you go to the average church, and most of their ministry takes place within four walls and a ceiling. That was never, ever God's intention. And I'll prove that. Go with me to Matthew 28. And you could probably guess where we're going with this. Matthew 28, let's look at verse number 19. This is the Lord's instruction for His disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That was the Lord's intention on day one when the Holy Spirit fell in Jerusalem. Not only did Jesus tell them that in Matthew 28, God showed them that in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And I'll prove that. Go back with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Wow. What does that sound like? Well, as far as they knew, every nation under heaven was there in Jerusalem. So it was missions coming to them right now, right? And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. I would be too. Because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews, proselytes, Cretans, and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." So the very first thing the Holy Spirit did when He came to earth was empower God's people to praise God to a worldwide audience on day one. How could we get away from that? That was day one. Should be day two, day three, day four, all the way to now. That was His purpose. This is amazing. Are you beginning to see the real reason that God sent the Holy Spirit? It wasn't to create spiritual superstars. It was to create powerful missionaries who would take the message of Jesus around the world. And He did it on day one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know what's running through your mind. Can I think for you just a moment? I'm going to anyway. Oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not going to be a missionary. Are you sure? Jesus was a missionary, and he told his followers to go around the world preaching the gospel, and that includes across the street. That includes a stop at McDonald's. That includes the grocery store and the petrol station and the hospital. That includes all those places. If you're a Christian today, we got any Christians here? On the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit come on board. Now, some people say the Holy Spirit comes later, but the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So you get it when you get saved. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you're with me on that one. So the Holy Spirit come on board to make you a missionary. But you don't understand, Tony. I'm a shy person. You know, that's a good place to be. That way you don't depend on you, you depend on the Holy Spirit. That's a good place to be. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Tony, that's not my calling in life. You don't need a calling when you have a command. Amen? So you can't squirrel out of it there. So let me ask you a question. Oh, shoot, I'm going to get done early. Let me ask you a question. How are we doing with our witness for Jesus? How are we doing? How are we going? Well, the truth of the matter, all of us... everybody please raise your hand. All of us are not doing as good as we should, right? And why is it we're not doing as good as we should? It's because we're believing our own excuses. I'm too shy. I'm not called. I'm not a missionary. Please don't tell me you don't have the opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity, unless you're a hermit. What's that? So folks, listen, every single one of us need to up the effort a little bit. But here's the amazing thing. You remember when the Bible's talked in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1? When the earth was set there, I think the Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over. You know what? When you got saved, that same Spirit of God just moved into your life. And you remember when Jesus was crucified, laying in the grave? Dead. I mean, dead. Roman soldiers knew what they were doing. The Holy Spirit went and raised him up. That same Spirit is inside of you and me. No different. He's not limited. He's not weak. He's ready to do the job if we will let him. There is something that can restrain the Holy Spirit. You know what it is? Disobedience. I think the Bible clearly says that we can quench the Holy Spirit. So this all-powerful, omnipotent Spirit of God that has come and empowered us to spread the news of Jesus throughout the whole world, if we push back, He'll step back and say, okay, do it yourself. And then we come up with our excuses. don't we? But what we need to do is say, Lord, let that Spirit flow through me. I think Jesus says, you know, when the Spirit comes in, He will well up as a river flowing out of you. How many would like to live that way? Then just get out of the way. He's there. He's not limited. He's still as powerful as He's ever been, ever before. He's just spread out in all of you and me. And He's saying, let me go. Take the chains of your excuses off of me and let me go. No, I'm not going to make myself do anything. But if you will invite me to go with you, I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if God's people will do God's work, God's way, we'll have God's power. And we'll see this community turned totally upside down for Jesus. Over my head. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. So folks, our primary existence as Christians is to be witnesses of Jesus. Primary existence. We've got to do that because nothing else matters if we don't. You remember back at the first of the year, we talked about coming up with two or three people that we would pray for, we would bless, we would start trying to interact with and asking the Lord to give us those people, to let us lead them to Christ. You know who they are in your mind. I've had some healthy interactions with a couple of mine this week. Hadn't got them yet. Amen. Lord willing, we'll see that come. Folks, let's let the Holy Spirit empower us to do God's work in our lives, in our community. Okay? Then we're going to have to start looking for a new building. Because when the Spirit of the Lord begins moving, things change. Things change. Nothing's ever sufficient when He's moving. Just hold on for the ride and let Him go. That's what I'd like to see. Now, I would like for you to read Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 for next week. You know that old guy by the name of Peter? You know the one that so embarrassed himself and he was totally defeated and Jesus restored? He has an extra addition in his life now. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he stands up and he preaches a message that you don't want to miss. We'll talk about that next week. Let's stand. Now, folks, listen. It would be so easy to leave here today and say, well, that sounds good, but oh, well. What are we having for lunch? Don't do that. You've just seen the most unique event that ever happened in human history, besides the raising of Jesus. You just saw the raising of believers. Let's let that idea, that concept, that reality revolutionize our lives. Okay? Then turn Him loose and let Him go. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the certainty that we know that the Holy Spirit of God lives within us and He wants so much to have the freedom to empower us to tell people about Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Have a good week.